Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
People to ask me, you know, they say, what about the spotlights? What about the flash bulbs? They don't bother me. I can't see a damn thing, I'll tell you for sure.
Okay, so here's the deal, Patrick. We did Suburbs Fest Midwest.
Yes, we did.
Earlier this year out there in the Chicago area. And now we're in the D.C. area, back in the home base, right, yep. For us here. It's Rock the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And, you know, a select few people have attended both.
That's right.
Chicago and D.C.
That's
you know,
right.
That's a big distance to
yes,
travel.
It's
to,
a long distance.
Right. And one of those people is right here in the chair today, Jason Goble.
Jason.
Mea culpa. I'm like Richard Gere in Office and the Gentleman. I got nowhere else to go. So thank you for providing me with a home.
I want to fly jets.
Oh, we're so happy you're here, Jason. So you live in New York. You live in Manhattan.
I live in Manhattan. And I said this to you guys last night. D.C., and I know you guys complained about the subway system, but I thought it was cleaner. I thought the city was cleaner. And you guys, I hate the Redskins. Sorry. I apologize.
You mean the Commanders?
You know what? I like the Commanders. So I'll just change that. And you guys have a good city.
Are you a Giants fan?
I am a Giants fan.
That's all right. I'll accept that. It's funny. There's a, because I love the Mannings and I love Eli Manning and all that. So, you know, the Giants are kind of cool. All right. What's our music topic today? I'm setting the timer for 10 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to go a little bit older than you guys normally do, but I think it's topical. I've been on a huge Elvis Presley kick summer. The movie came out. I didn't go to the movie theater to see the movie. I ultimately did see the movie, but I did read this book by Richard Zoglin. It's called Elvis in Vegas, which is a mix of sort of Vegas history, but kind of focuses on the beginning of Elvis's run, or sort of Elvis's run at the International. And when I say I'm an Elvis Presley fan, I love 69... forward. I realize you buy that 30 number one hit CD, there's like 27 hits from before and three hits afterwards, but I love live Elvis. I don't know where I even got it from, but I am a huge live Elvis fan. I love the good, I love the bad. You guys, I know a little bit about Washington Radio. Don and Mike, you used to be, I think, talk guys in Washington. They would do an Elvis show every year. And that, to me, was like the greatest thing, where they would spotlight like the good, the bad, the ugly on Elvis. Him basically being high off his gourd and singing... Are You Lonesome Tonight? But I wrote something to you guys, but I will say now, if every song started with an orchestra playing Thus Spake Zarathustra and Elvis and the singer coming on stage, even the worst acts would be 10 times better.
Would do pretty good, yeah.
So... This Zoglin book kind of talks about the birth of music in Las Vegas, and coincides with his run at the International. And it's just, to me, it's like one of the greatest second acts in music. And that could be a side topic if we drift adrift. If you have any other better second acts. But to me, like, his career, like, he stopped recording in the 60s and then, you know, basically does have the comeback special. But it's that it's really that second act from what he does in Vegas and the international run that I think is what makes Elvis great.
Well, so I will say real quickly, though, it's probably a third act because you had the 50s Elvis, the Sun Studios, and then the early RCA recordings, the hit pre-Army Elvis, right?
Yep.
Then you had the movie Elvis.
The movie Elvis,
in the 60s, which still had some pretty good songs there, right? And then there's the third era, which is, like the 68 Comeback Special and beyond, where he became just, I think, a tremendous live performer. And I will just say real quickly, I have two CDs of live recordings, live Elvis recordings from the 70s. And when you listen to them without the visual, right, without the all the flamboyance and the jumpsuit and all that kind of stuff, right, and just actually listen to how great he even was at that point as a singer, an interpreter, a performer, and how great his band was behind him, it's mind-blowing, I think. So I think that's a great way to experience that era of Elvis, is just total audio, right?
Yeah. Well, I will say I've never heard anyone say that before.
Okay.
They like that period of Elvis better than any other part of Elvis. I will also say that Elvis, and I think it was during this period, is notable in music history because it was the first time somebody made a bootleg record where they cut out all the music from a live concert and only had the in-between song banter, right? It was called like Elvis Enjoying Elvis on Stage or something like that, right?
Yes, yes.
So I have two records in my collection that feature this. One is the Elvis. The other is Venom. There's a Venom concert where somebody took all the music out of the Venom concert and just made a record of the between song banter. That's kind of incredible, too. I'm not comparing Venom to Elvis.
Understood. But. Understood. Though he was putting a lot of Venom in his body in the end.
Just medicine.
Admittedly, a wormhole you don't want to go down. But I love YouTube wormholes. And I'll just say, if you Google Elvis Presley live, there is so much live stuff at the end of the day. I came across something and... Again, I love third act Elvis, we'll call it now.
Yes.
The song Burning Love is like one of my favorite songs of all time.
100%.
And I found something on YouTube where it was essentially, it appeared to be him testing the song for the first time in front of a live audience. And, you know, where even like you see the backup singers sort of reading the lyrics or, you know, the cues where they're supposed to come in. As I said, just a fascinating guy. I realize it's like sort of talking to the choir, but I will say, like, when people talk about like the greatness, the great rock guys, it's always the Beatles, it's always the Stones, you know, to me, Elvis sort of gets forgotten, and that's why, like, as I said, I've been on this huge Elvis kick this entire summer, and that's why I figured I would share.
I love that. And I will say, too, there's no, like you said, there's no dearth of material in Elvis's career. Like, he's probably been documented as well as, like, any artist, right, that ever came down the pike, right? When you were little... Was Elvis still alive at that point?
I was 8 when he passed away.
Okay.
My parents sort of didn't really like rock and roll. Well, they liked sort of the cheesier 60s stuff, but I think there was like an Elvis record in their collection. I sort of remember at least one old record that had Teddy Bear on it, so... I do think maybe I got a little bit of that from there.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. That's kind of what I was going to ask. Like, did that filter down? Yeah. Because I think I said about my mom, the Johnny Cash and Marty Robbins, but I do think we had the 45 of Hound Dog. Because I can remember putting that on the spindle and playing that.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's great.
This is very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you read Peter Guralnick's 2-volume biography of Elvis?
I have not read
that. That's great. That's really, really good. Yeah.
I have not read that. And the other thing I'll just throw out is, and this is more about the Vegas music scene. One of the points they make in the book is that, in this Zoglin book, is that the early 60s, you know, obviously it's the Rat Pack, but then the Rat Pack sort of breaks up, or at least stops sort of performing together. And the acts that essentially came to Vegas that were sort of the bigger acts of the day, like Connie Francis and Brenda Lee, and I think Peter Avalon maybe did a run, like they toned down their act. They basically focused their act on the Vegas crowd. And, you know, where really, like, they were not rock and roll. And Bobby Darin, who had that sort of act that obviously would be sort of Vegas-y, he decides he wants to be a political protest singer. So he basically pisses off the Vegas crowd. Elvis basically, it's one of the points in the book, he sort of brings rock and roll to Vegas.
Ah.
And now, admittedly, some will say he may have been an oldies act at the time, but right. Again, you think of like the albums he released, like when he was still coherent, and they're two of his best albums, yeah. In my opinion. Yeah. So, right.
Okay, we got to move on. We got to get sure. you a question here. What do you want to do? A prize first or a question
you know
first?
What?
All right, somebody's going for a Red, White, and Crew. There it is.
I don't Jason. Own any Motley Crue.
Beautiful.
So, yes, now part of the Global Collection.
That's right. Okay, pick a number between 1 and 20.
Let's try 11.
Number 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All right, here we go. Oh, wait, I think this might relate somehow to your previous question at Midwest.
Okay.
What was your first car?
Oh, yeah.
It was a 1970 Dodge Dart.
Nice.
Dodge Dart.
I'll be brief with this, but I got it from my grandfather. On the day of my graduation, there wasn't a tape player in there. I had a tape player I put a portable tape player in the car. The tape player, I was driving home from the graduation, the tape player fell. I didn't think otherwise to stop the car. So basically, as I went to pick up the car, I went crashing into a fence.
Oh, no.
And dented the Dodge Dart.
That's all.
I've never told that story. If my mother decides to listen to this, well, she apparently,
that's what happened, Mom.
Apparently, I may have gotten this gene from her based on recent incidences, but I love that Dodge Dart. My parents ended up getting rid of it, and I was so mad because it still drove.
Yeah.
And the dent kept everybody away from you. But that having been said, that was my Dodge Dart,
that's beautiful.
Is my favorite car I've ever owned.
Oh, that's good.
It could have been a Cars of 7-Eleven.
Yes. There you go. Oh, by the way, Bud Verge had a... had a big old cup, so
that's
once
right.
again
he had to do his banking.
Once yes. again, suburbs, rocking suburbs, moving merchandise.
That's
so
right.
There
that's
you
what
go.
We do. That's what we do.
All right, thanks, Jason Goebel.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, we got a few more people to get through here, so it's Rocking the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenahan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you later.
All right. Elvis has left the building. I've told you absolutely straight up to this point, you know that he has left the building. He left the stage and went out the back with the policeman, and he is now gone from the building.